get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a girl?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
Greek. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this
with Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne the God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo, 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 yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Yes, today is Wednesday hump day.
Yes, man.
Let's start the show off by saying rest in peace to Prodigy from Mobb Deep.
Awful news yesterday.
As a hip-hop fan, that one hurt.
Very sad.
That wouldn't hurt. I mean, you know, if you know anything about me, as a young cornball, you read about it in my book, we used to call it the hood we used to trap in Queensbridge. Okay? That's how much we used to love Mobb Deep.
You had never been there.
Never been there in my life. Still ain't been there.
We grew up on Mobb Deep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. That was, come on, that's an understatement.
That's what raised me as a kid. It was Lost Boys, Mobb Deep, Nas, Jay-Z.
Wu-Tang.
Yeah, for me,
and
it was,
Wu-Tang.
For me,
those were the main groups that we listened to all the time. We followed. We, you know, wore what they wore. We did what they did. We went to their shows. It was those five groups for me.
For me, it was Wu-Tang, Mobb Deep, Outkast, Goody Mob, CNN.
And I remember going to see Mobb Deep perform when I was in high school and not knowing who was who on the stage.
Yeah.
Because they used to have like 200 people on stage
all
with them.
The time.
And I was like, where are the people with the mic?
The time. And then, you know, the first record that I bought as a DJ was a record that a lot of people don't know was Hit It From The Back.
Shorty Don't Front, Better Act Like You With It.
I'm going to be honest with you. I saw
like
your caption
you
yesterday on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn how to use punctuation.
Yeah.
Because it went from, it said, Rest in Peace, Prodigy. First thing I remember is Hit It From The Back. Like, you had to worry. I was like, I understood what you were saying.
Well, the hip-hop heads, the people that needed to know, knew.
I understood what you were saying. But the punctuation and the grammar could have just been better.
That's all right. Like, at that point, I was upset. I couldn't believe it. When Nas posted it, and then Angela Yee sent it to me, I was hoping it was a lie. I was hoping it was fake. I was hoping that it wasn't true. He just had performed in New York about a week ago. So I was like, nah.
He performed in Vegas over the weekend.
Actually, he got sick performing in Vegas because the weather, it was so hot. It was like 110 degrees or something while he was on stage. And that's when he started feeling sick and he had to leave.
Just real sad, man.
Listen, man.
Real sad.
The Prodigy said it himself. Until my death, my goal is to stay alive. So rest in peace to Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still my goal. My death. I want to live a long, long life. I don't know what the hell y'all be talking about. I keep telling y'all stop trying to stand on youth because everybody got a birthday.
There you go.
And I
he
want
was
to
only
live
42.
Only 42,
42
years old.
Years old.
I want
Yo.
To live as long as possible. Age is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he had his book out that we all read and enjoyed, My Infamous Life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
his autobiography.
That should be a movie.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm glad, but you know the beautiful thing about all of this we're saying. I'm glad. I know for me, I'm glad at least I got to tell him this a few times.
Right.
Documented, you know what I mean, on video, whether it's when they've been up here, like we've gotten to tell him these exact same things, whether it was about his book, whether it was about his music.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely positively had to know that he was a hip-hop legend.
We definitely had some great moments.
Absolutely, with Prodigy.
But I can't wait until I live a long, prosperous life. God bless Prodigy. I want to live so long that when I do pass away, people say, I thought he was already dead.
Okay. All right. Well, rest in peace to Prodigy. This morning, Big Boy from Outkast will be joining
Another
us.
Another legend.
Yes.
So we'll kick it with Big Boy from Outkast. We got front page news. What are we talking about?
Well, we told you yesterday about a Mike Brown movie being in the works at Warner Brothers, but they have reached a settlement in that Michael Brown civil lawsuit. Also, we'll discuss Uber more issues.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Here's Kendrick Lamar. Friday is DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, D'Angelo Russell is traded to the Brooklyn Nets for Brooke Lopez.
I don't know about that trade, man. For Brooke Lopez?
But Brooke Lopez,
I would have kept D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell young. He got a better upside.
But Brooke Lopez is a strong center. He scores, what, about 15, 20 points a game? He's a good center. Good,
I don't know,
good
man.
Rebounder.
I know D'Angelo Russell like to play I Spy and be pulling out his iPhone recording everybody, but I still would have kept him around.
Man, they're getting the ball kid in Los Angeles. I think it's a good move for maybe for LA. They're getting the ball kid in Los Angeles, probably in the draft.
Oh.
which would be good.
I don't know.
All right, now what are we talking about front page news, G?
Well, there is a settlement that has been reached in the Michael Brown civil lawsuit. Now, we told you yesterday they're doing a Mike Brown movie. It's going to be done by Warner Brothers. There was a bidding war for that, and it's based on Tell the Truth and Shame the Devil, The Life, Legacy, and Love of My Son, Michael Brown, which is a memoir that was co-written by Michael Brown's mom. He was gunned down in Ferguson, Missouri by Darren Wilson back in August 2014.
Devil named Darren Wilson?
Yes, Darren Wilson. That gave rise to the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, now there's been a settlement reached in the civil lawsuit of Michael Brown's death. Now, that information was not disclosed to the public, but the original lawsuit shows that the family was seeking punitive and compensatory damages in excess of $75,000.
I can't even say, you know, congratulations on stuff like that, because I don't feel like the money is a reward for a life that was taken, you know?
Not at all.
And with all these movies, I said it yesterday, all these movies they're making, whether it's about Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, they have to label them African-American horror movies. Call them what they are. Don't call them just regular dramas or thrillers or whatever. It's an African-American horror movie.
Now let's talk about Uber.
Right. The founder of Uber has resigned, Travis Kalanick, and that is after a shareholder revolt. They said that he just couldn't stay there. Now he made a statement. He said, I love Uber more than anything in the world, and at this difficult moment in my personal life, I have accepted the investor's request to step aside so that Uber can go back to building rather than be distracted with another fight. So that was the statement that he gave to the Times. There's been all kinds of issues at Uber. Now that company he built is now valued at nearly $70 billion.
Yeesh.
But they've had so many issues. They had the whole delete Uber movement that happened. More than 200,000 people deleted the Uber app after that. And then they've had some issues inside the company and just all kinds of leadership issues and the work environment and issues with how they treat women.
I bet you he ain't give up his stock, though.
Hell no.
None of his equity in that company.
I know he didn't.
he's going to remain on the board of directors.
Of course.
But he's no longer running the company.
Okay. All right, well, that's front page news. Now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you could call us up right now. Or maybe you feel blessed this morning. Whatever it may be, phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Lonel, what up?
Yo, what up, DJ Envy?
Now, what's your AKA, bro?
My AKA is Sir Pretty Toes.
Sir Pretty Toes. Okay.
What's that about?
I didn't know girls was into that.
Trust me, I got a lot of girls that's into that. You actually laughed at my name when I came to your book signing in L.A.
Oh, I do remember you, Sir Pretty Toes. Glad to sign your book, Sir Pretty Toes. You right.
And you signed
Sir Pretty Toes?
Listen, he bought a copy of my book, Black Privilege, so I could care less what his name was.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, why you mad this morning? He made fun of your name?
Yeah, I actually am mad at that. I've been calling for a while, could never get it through, but I actually wanted to call up and spit some bars for you, too.
Oh, gosh. Did
you enjoy the book, sir?
I'm reading through it now. I'm on the chapter say, F Your Dreams.
There you go. So listen, look how God works. God wants you to read this chapter right now, and the name of that chapter is F Your Dreams. Therefore, we don't want to hear you rap this morning, okay?
No, let him rap.
Have
Come
a
on,
blessed
Sir
day.
Pretty Toes. Let's hear.
Have a blessed day, Sir Pretty Toes.
Pretty Toes. Hurry up.
All right, say, hi, I'm Sir Pretty Toes. Wow. Pretty Toes, no, we're pretty
fart
nose.
Fart on those bars. Fart on those bars. Fart on those bars. Listen, the whole principle in my book, F Your Dreams, is about F Your Dreams if they're not your dreams, okay? And that don't sound like rap should be your dream,
sir. Hi, my name is Pretty Toes. Goodness gracious.
That's
Tanisha.
Crazy.
Top of the morning, this is Dante from Mount Vernon.
Hi, Dante. You mad or you blessed this morning, bro?
I'm upset, man.
Why you
Philando
upset?
Philando Castile dash cam video came out, man, it's scary, man.
Isn't
you know?
It scary? Isn't it sad?
We were just talking about that in the room.
Home on me. There should be no way he should have been shot.
I mean, the crazy thing is, man, how you don't get a cop at least an endangerment charge? There was a kid in the back seat.
Yo, listen, man. You know, they say that, you know, okay, so you wear a hoodie. And so they took the young man's life. The cop felt that he was in danger. So what's the excuse now? What did the jury see that they let this police officer
Seems
off,
like a police
man?
Officer that was too nervous to do his job.
And where is the NRA?
A licensed gun holder got killed in America, did everything the right way during the traffic stop, and still got shot and killed. Where is the NRA? Why y'all not raising hell right now?
That's my problem.
And you know, the crazy thing is there was another cop on the other side, so they have both views.
Even the other cop was like, I was surprised.
Yeah, the other cop should have said, no, you know, like.
He said it all happened in like 40 seconds, though. He said he was surprised that he started shooting. He didn't know what was going on.
Because the other cop didn't move.
He said that Philando Castile was very calm. Everything was calm. And then he was surprised that he did that.
Goodness gracious. All right.
That's why I can't wait till Irv Gotti Tales come out, man. I know that. I'm not trying to promote a show. But Irv Gotti's Tales is going to really open up a lot of people's eyes to what's going on in America, because I really want to know how people would react when the shoe was on the other foot, man.
800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Yassie.
Yes, hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Yassie. You calling from Cali? Why are you mad this morning?
Well, first of all, I'm so happy that I'm talking with you guys. I'm really mad because I don't like how the black guys are being shown on The Bachelorette this season. Mm. I really hate how, like, the other guys are just kind of coming at them, calling them aggressive, and I'm just not sure how I feel about how ABC is kind of handling the situation.
Mm. I haven't seen the last two weeks.
I actually do have to watch it. I saw that she was crying, though.
She was crying. I mean, she's a black woman. I haven't seen the black guys on it. The first couple of weeks look good. I haven't seen the last 2 weeks. What's been going on?
Yeah.
A lot of people are watching because it's the first time as a black woman on The Bachelorette. So
absolutely.
That's why a lot of people are paying attention.
I actually just watched last night's episode, and it just really kind of... it just really got me mad because these guys are just calling them like, oh, he's mad. I felt like this guy threatened me. And it just really got me, upset because I feel like, we finally have like a black bachelorette. And I was hoping that we will have like, a black bachelor after that. I was hoping like, one of the, black men on the show would be our
Actually, the Huffington posted a whole article on how the racism on The Bachelorette is gross.
Why don't you just stop watching the show then? I mean, why do y'all watch stuff that make y'all mad?
Maybe she watched that one episode.
Yeah, she didn't
and was just
know what
she
it was
going to
be until she watched it.
A lot of people are tuning in, like Angela Yee said, because it's the first time ever it's been
a black woman on The Bachelorette.
I don't give a damn about a black person on The Bachelorette.
But you don't watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what shows
that's
for
not
you.
A historic moment in African-American history.
Well, you don't watch it. A lot of people do watch it.
Yeah, no doubt, but that's not a historic moment. Who cares?
It's not a historic event, but that's the reason why black women and black people
don't
watch it.
Don't watch it. We have a black bachelorette.
Well, don't watch it.
She wouldn't know she didn't like it if she didn't watch it.
Well, now we know it's racism on it, so don't watch it. You just said the Huffington Post did a whole article on it.
And I think that you also want to support the fact that
I'm not supporting nothing that an article has been written about
crying.
That said it's racist.
She broke down crying about being the first black woman and how this whole thing about race is being an issue on there. But I also feel like you don't want to not watch it and support her.
I'm not supporting racism. Y'all are crazy.
How do you know what happens on the show
you
until
see
it
for
happens?
Yourself. You don't know what somebody could take, whatever
guess
somebody
what?
Writes.
We just had a caller call up and say the show is racist. Angela said it's an article saying that racism on the show is disgusting. I'm cool. I
think that just happened yesterday.
Well, I'm going to see it for myself.
Just watched it.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, we'll talk about Andrea Constance. She speaks out after the mistrial with the whole case with Bill Cosby. Also, Prodigy will give you whatever information that we've been getting from the news on how he passed away.
All right. And also, Big Boy from Outkast will be joining us, so we'll kick it with him as well. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Prodigy.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, very unfortunate news. Prodigy from Mobb Deep has passed away. Now, he was on The Breakfast Club a few times.
Mm-hmm. Quite a few times.
We all have our own relationships with Prodigy. Obviously, he's been in the game since he was a teenager.
Right.
Since when did he put out Juvenile Hell? That was back in like 1993.
Yes.
Or something like that. Well, here is Prodigy on The Breakfast Club. We all know he's been suffering from sickle cell anemia, and here's what he said.
One time we was on tour with Big Pun, and we had just did a show.
Mm-hmm.
After the show, I get back to the hotel, and all of a sudden the pain just came out of nowhere. It hit me crazy. I couldn't even move. And Pun see how much pain I was in. I was like screaming in pain. Pun started crying like.
Now with sickle cell, now you say they rush you to the emergency. So when they get you to the emergency, what can they do for sickle cell?
They just give you like morphine until the pain goes away.
There's
like really
go?
No cure
so
for it.
So there is no way that you could just get hit any given minute. Right now you could just have a sickle cell attack.
It's not that fast, but it's like gradually. Mm-hmm. It can happen within like 30 minutes.
First time I met Prodigy was in Columbia, South Carolina at Hot 103.9, and he had a sickle cell attack. I did the interview with him, and he was supposed to perform for me at a party that night with Havoc, of course, Mobb Deep, and he had a sickle cell attack, and we had to get medicine from somebody else who had sickle cell in Columbia to give to him. Salute to my guy Big G down there.
Right, and I used to work for Wu-Tang, so, you know, they had a close relationship with Mobb Deep. Ghostface posted, as well as Nori did a post. You know, they had some issues, which Prodigy documented in his book,
right.
My Infamous Life. And Nori posted, this was New Year's Eve. We got drunk and smoked together and put the past in the past. R.I.P. Prodigy, love to the whole Mobb Deep family. I just spoke to Gotti and Twin and Tyson. Salute Ty Nitty, Karate Joe, Godfather and the family. We here for all y'all. Queens lost a legend today, so we're going to keep his legacy alive. And what's even crazier is I'm in Vegas still. I saw him 3 days ago as soon as he got off stage. He said I offered him drinks, him and Hav, but P said he wasn't feeling well. I thought nothing of it. God bless you, King.
Yeah.
All right. Now, they haven't released the cause of his death, but what we do know is that he was in bad shape on Saturday night. He was in Vegas. He was at the after party. They said he was in such bad shape that he was wheeled out on a stretcher and taken to the hospital, and that is where he passed away.
And why would TMZ put out that whack-ass headline saying Prodigy choked on an egg?
Well, they did put out that headline. They said he choked on an egg Tuesday morning in the hospital. He was getting treatment for sickle cell anemia. But they said they don't know if that's ultimately what caused...
So why put that out as a headline? He choked on an egg. That's lame as hell. I'm sitting there reading that. I'm like, so you mean to tell me he survived the mean streets of Queensbridge, you know, only to choke on an egg? Like, this don't even make no sense.
It doesn't even sound right.
Exactly.
It doesn't even sound right.
Right, and they said that because he was in Vegas, it was 110 degrees.
Mm.
He was performing. They're saying that the heat actually exacerbated his sickle cell and the extreme temperatures in the desert. So that made him prone to dehydration, and his immune system's already weakened from the disease. So that might have not been a good situation for him. But again, our condolences go out to Prodigy's family.
Absolutely.
And rest in peace. Now, French Montana found out in the middle of doing an interview, the host actually revealed to him that they just got the news that Prodigy passed away. And here's what French said.
What? How?
He had complications, I think, because he's had sickle cell.
Sickle cell? Wow.
And he just passed, man.
He just passed away.
That's
crazy. So what are
you, man? Wow, that just f***ed me up. Wow. I mean, I did a lot of work with him. Damn. Life is short, man. You got to enjoy it. That's crazy. Make you think about life, man. Enjoy it while you're here.
Now, French is absolutely right.
50 mm-hmm. Cent also posted, the police tried to get P to set me up. They asked him if I keep any gun or drugs around, then wanted him to put a gun in my car. He didn't do it. Instead, he told me what they were trying to do. My man, P.
Wow. And French is absolutely right, man. That's all that live fast and die young stuff. I want to live long and prosperous. And in the words of Prodigy, until my death, my goal is to stay alive.
Now, Diddy also posted on Instagram remembering his experiences with Prodigy. Here's what he said.
Before this Mobb Deep, they used to come to my office after school at Uptown. And, you know, I just took a love and a liking to them, you know. And I just wanted to make sure they was protected and it was right. Because I was like the first cat in the industry that really had an office and everything. You know what I'm saying? For young cats to come in and get that vibe. That's probably one of the nicest cats, you know what I'm saying, that I've known and had a chance to meet. And that's my personal Prodigy story. Like, rest in peace. We love you.
As a rapper, lyrically, one of the best. He's up there with the best. He spits.
Havoc posted as well. He just put a picture up of Mobb Deep, and he just put forever. So that was his statement that he made. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, Miss Yee. All right, now when we come back, Big Boy from Outkast will be joining us. We'll kick it with Big Boy, a legend. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Big Boy.
Yo.
What's up, sir?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, my brother?
Cooling, man.
We were just talking. Last time you were supposed to come here.
That was not the last time he was supposed to come here. No, he was here with the group.
Big Graham.
No,
it was just supposed to be Big Boy by himself.
Last time he was supposed to come by himself. That was the time when Charlamagne got assaulted at the pharmacy downstairs.
That, I ain't get assaulted. I beat somebody's ass in the pharmacy.
He tried to assault.
To get some money from the ATM and got assaulted down there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That was a crazy day.
He tried to assault me, and then he got his ass kicked. Oh, yeah.
And you know I'm nosy. I went to the store to see what happened. It was
They had the videotape. They had the security footage. They just wanted to see if I got busy. That's all.
Oh, man.
But listen, after he got beat up, right, the guy left, ran
Why
out.
You keep lying?
He didn't get beat up.
After the guy got beat up.
He
gets
so mad.
Let me get my W, man.
Okay, there. You put the hands on his head then.
We were waiting on Big Boy.
The guy came back in the store. Me and Charlamagne started running like bitches.
We ain't run. I just thought he had a gun. I'm like, God, beats on him. He came back.
Oh, man.
He dropped his car keys.
He had to come back and get his car keys.
No more early morning pharmacy. That's it.
All because we was waiting on Big Boy. Big Boy didn't show up.
He didn't even show up.
Nobody ain't told me.
What, a couple years ago? What project probably was that? Sir Lucius Left Foot?
Yeah, maybe, yeah, man. I need to take notes on that. Somebody had some trouble.
Lucius Left Foot.
Yeah, man.
Now, Boomerverse.
Yeah, man.
What I like about your music is you don't follow trends, man. You just stick to that funk, funk, so to speak. Do you do that on purpose?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, since, you know, the days of Outkast, our whole thing, Outkast being apart from what the norm was. So we always wanted to do what everybody else wasn't doing. You know what I'm saying? And it's all just to keep, you know, reinvent yourself, and you got to evolve every time you make music.
Do you get tired of the Outkast questions? When's another album? When you going back on tour? When y'all going to work together?
Man, I'm used to it now, man. It's part of the gig. Everybody want to know what we're doing, you know what I'm saying? But we got a personal relationship that, I mean, people will never know, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we hang out, like, Dre live up here now. Like, you know, we going to dinner tonight, you know what I mean? Every time I come up here, he come to Atlanta, we hang out, play the music for him. You know, I always get his approval. And, you know, we just ride.
Plus, the answer to that question probably changes all the time. Like, it probably changes every time we ask you, like, okay, well, we're going to do this. Well, no, we are going to go on tour. Well, no, we're not right now.
Yeah, I mean, it just got to be a reason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're just waiting on God.
Why the hell would Andre leave from Atlanta to move to New York?
He lived in both spots. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean, so, you know, when his son went to school, Seven went to school, he just moved up here, just changed the scenery. Because he was in Texas for a minute.
Now, you talking that shit on the Boomerverse album, too. It's almost like the OG who's looking at the game, who has accomplished a whole lot. And you're not criticizing the youngins, but you giving them little words of advice here and there.
Yeah, like me, I embrace the young ones wholeheartedly. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never judge them. You know, everybody, we started when we were 16 years old. So, you know, some of these guys, mid-20s, 30s, just getting on. I like to see, you know, what they're going to turn into on their next album, on their next song. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I just watch.
But you guys survived through all the different phases that Atlanta went through, whether it was Snap, whether it was, now they call it the quote-unquote mumble era. How do y'all stay so relevant all the time? Because y'all never follow the trends.
By just doing that, you know, making something new. People always, they want something refreshing, you know what I'm saying? So I would get bored. Me, myself, I got a musical addiction. That's why I still keep doing music. Obviously, I don't have to really do music or nothing, but I got Stankonia Studios and organized noise, and we work. If we're not on the road, we in the studio cooking up, you know what I'm saying? So we always got music in the vault.
I like the record Order of Operations.
Yes, sir.
You're giving like a financial literacy class, so to speak.
Yeah.
You said your first 100,000, you bought a Lexus. Your first million, you bought some land.
So right.
I was thinking when I heard it, who put you on to that? Because you were still young when you made your first million, like 20, right?
Yeah, man. It was my Uncle Trick, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Uncle Trick, Trick's Barbecue, Savannah, Georgia. He schooled me when I was young. You know what I mean? When you first get a check and, you know, first 100,000 and you 18 years old, that's like $1 million. You know what I mean? So go buy a Lexus cash, you know what I'm saying? And get an apartment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and some equipment, actually. We bought equipment like SB-12s and MPCs, and we started producing at that time. So I did invest in myself then. And so by the time, you know, the M started coming in, you start tucking it and putting it away.
That first million you made at 20, was that just off record sales or touring or a combination of both? Or?
Publishing, touring, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it, buddy.
Wow.
Most artists get raped they first when they 20 years old.
Yeah. But with us, it was, you know, we had L.A. Reid, man. You know what I'm saying? And he was like a big brother to us, you know, and Organized Noise. One thing about them is they didn't take no publishing from us. They let us own our own publishing. And so they never came in and, you know, just swooped nothing up. So we always owned everything. Then when we started producing, then, you know, the publishing numbers went up.
L.A. Reid has always been so behind you and been very vocal about Outkast. Always has a home.
Yeah.
No matter where I'm at. Have you spoken to him after all the drama that he's been going through?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he good. Mm-hmm. He good. Y'all just stay tuned.
Right. Because I know he has something else coming up. I know he's been, like, producing television.
Just stay tuned.
Don't you think L.A. gets a bad rap when it comes to, like, because, you know, we've been having these discussions. Joe Budden started it with the L.A. Don't Know Hip Hop. And I was like, well, L.A. signed Outkast and Goody Mob and... you know, Jeezy and Future and then Big Boy solo projects. Like, that sound like hip-hop to me.
The track record speaks for itself. You know, we're the only rap group to ever win Album of the Year at the Grammys. Still got that belt. I'm not a platinum recording artist. I'm a diamond recording artist, which is, you know, you got to sell 10 million plus. Speak About Love below 15 million plus the other 30 million records.
Not too many people will ever accomplish that.
So right now it's not even about that. I just like making music, you know what I'm saying? And people digging it, man. So it's good to see the responses, you know, from folks and they picking their favorite songs. Like I saw you put up Order of Operations.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my homeboy Lil Rod. He was like, you should have put that out first. That's what the out here getting it, the whipping work, the going to Foot Locker. I'm like, okay.
But does it even matter at this point? I like bodies of work.
Yeah, for sure. That's what it's all about. It's the whole thing, you know what I mean? Like, if I ask people what's your favorite song, they'd be like, I like All Night, Order Operations. Matter of fact, I like all of them. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you want to hear. You know what I'm saying? So the albums grow organically. You know what I mean? It ain't like it was a major push, like billboards everywhere, nothing like that. Like even with the Outkast records, like I don't even think we ever had a number one record. You know what I mean? To come in at number one, but they always went platinum. And then we always went on the road.
Hey, y'all, and I like the way you moved in.
Yeah, both of those went number one. I'm talking about albums.
You know what I mean?
Like when the album came out, it was always traffic, something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hold up. Outkast ain't never had a number one album?
I don't think so. Mm-mm. Every time we came out, it was somebody like Moby or Pearl Jam or somebody else that came out. You know what I'm saying? A lot of baller blocking. Yeah.
All right, we got more with Big Boi from Outkast when we come back. We're also going to do a Big Boi mini mix. Let me know your favorite Big Boi joints, your favorite Outkast joints. So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have Big Boi from Outkast in the building. Now, you still got your label and your artist?
Yeah. I got Camp Purple, the label. A new artist now is Malcolm Nex, a little 17-year-old singer out of Cleveland. And that's what I tell people all the time. Like, my two proudest accomplishments in music has been signing Killer Mike and Janelle Monae. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You had Killer Mike, you had Janelle Monae, you had Bubba Sparks.
Yeah.
You had a bunch of artists.
Yeah, man. And you know, to see them go on, Killer Mike running Jewels, Janelle's right now shooting a movie.
By the way, Janelle Monae is incredible as an actor.
Yeah, she's incredible.
She is
the bomb, man.
Listen, I had no idea that she was going to be that. She is ridiculous.
Yeah, she's the real deal.
Now, with those contracts, did you just let them go or you decided not to do? Because that seems like something that, I mean, Janelle Monae and Killer Mike, those are... artists that you'd be like, man, I would love to work with them forever.
Yeah, I mean, I still work with them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I co-executive produced the demo and their albums. I let Killer Mike go on and do his own thing and run the Jewels. My thing is, you know, I help artists get to a point to be a springboard, but just like Organized Noise gave me and Dre the shot to go off on our own, I ain't finna tie nobody down.
Gotcha.
And have somebody just tied up and just, you know what I mean, capping off everything.
Right. If you respect somebody's art and craft, you got to let them.
Yeah. Let them go be them. And then, you know, they still come back. We family. You know what I'm saying? It's like the rap X-Men. You know what I mean?
Would you and Killer Mike really consider running for mayor and governor of Atlanta one day? I heard you say that one time.
I mean, as soon as they stop drug testing.
That or they drug test. So many mayors have, and governors have used lots of drugs.
Yeah.
Are you going to do any more movies?
Yes.
What about an Outkast biopic? How about that?
We've been talking about it. We're just trying to figure out who we're going to get to do it. You know what I mean?
But that's important.
We want to do it, you know, soon, because we want to be here to do it, and we don't want nobody to tell our story without us being a part of it. So, as soon as I come off this road, we're going to put something together.
Did you see the Pac movie?
Yeah.
What did you think about it?
I mean, if you're a Tupac fan, you know what I'm saying? The music in there.
Right.
I think my little partner Meeks did a great job playing Tupac, you know? And it was pretty cool. I took my sons out there. I went to the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it could have been just, you know, maybe more dialogue, maybe just a little bit more. But, you know, the story overall, I'm a Pac fan, so.
Right.
Pac spent a lot of time in Atlanta. I saw you say y'all was supposed to collab. I'm surprised y'all didn't, as much time as he spent in the A.
Yeah, because we were gone, and then he was moving, and then the inevitable happened after that. It was, you know, he called one day, was like, yo, I got a song. I want to be me, y'all, Outlaws, and we're going to do the whole little thing. And then, you know, didn't work out.
Y'all never ran into each other a lot in Atlanta?
No, we were on tour, man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, first 2-3 albums, never home, man. I ain't seen my daughter till she was 3.
Yeah. Hey, you said you don't write on the iPhone. You'll never stop pushing that pen.
Yeah.
You think writing on the iPhone like hurts?
Nah, but I when I write, a lot of times, you know, I go back and I change stuff and I scratch out words, and I'm just used to the Edgar Allan Poe things. You know what I'm saying? So every line, every bar, like I have to look at it. And then on the phone, it's just, I just never understood that.
It's like a different feeling.
Yeah.
When you write something down.
Yeah,
when
writing.
You get to see it in your handwriting.
Absolutely. And I got all my tablets from Southern Playlist from on to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, though, because I can't read off no Kindle or nothing. I need the book in my hand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What I mean? Yeah, for sure.
Now, on Overthunk, you said people aren't even putting effort into their bars anymore. You feel that way about, like, the whole game?
Not the whole game, but, I mean, in this day and age, it's not about what you say. It's style-driven. It's how you say it. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, you don't have to be the most lyrical person in the room to get a hit record.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of this stuff be jamming, but, I mean, I come from a different era. You know what I'm saying? Like, we worked hard to be respected as lyricists. And, I mean, that's the only way I know, you know?
You ever listen to songs and be like, what the hell are they talking about later on when you listen into the lyrics? It still sound good because you got kids and everything.
Yeah,
and
my kids turn me on to stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I just be like,
what is this?
What? Yeah, they be like,
what did your kids turn you on to?
They turned me on to, definitely they had they call it a kickback, like a party at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they, Kodak Black, I'm talking about it, for about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
21 Savage, A Boogie with a Hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we actually.
A Boogie with a Hoodie.
I'm hip now. I know what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
So, it's the hoodie, though.
Yeah. A Boogie with the Hoodie.
Oh, well, I don't know. You know what I mean? So, anyway, we DJed at party, and they gave us a whole playlist of music to make. And then, you know, it kind of influenced the end of the record. That's how, you know, I came up with songs like Follow These with Currency. And
Freakonomics?
Absolutely. Freakonomics. It was just like, it was fun records. You know what I'm saying? Everything don't have to be so musical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were just going off. So, like, I would be taking my kids to football practice. I did Kill Jill 4 years ago, and I played a record. They get back in the car. Daddy, play that song with the Killer Mike song, man, with the Chinese in it. I'm like, all right, for sure, play it. I did the record Chocolate. Daddy, play the Chocolate song, Daddy. You know what I'm saying?
So that's a good gauge, whatever sticks out to the kids.
They've been my mini A&R since Bombs Over Baghdad, man. I brought that song home. My little boy was on the ground like the Three Stooges, running in the circle. I called Dre. I said, boy, we got one. You know what I mean? Miss Jackson, boy, he did it again. So they're my mini A&Rs, man. And they keep me young and, you know, keep me fresh.
You feel like the South still gets a bad rap, because whenever they want to mention mumble rap and all that, they always point to the South. But growing up down South, it was y'all, it was Goody Mob, it was Scarface, it was UGK, A-Ball MJG, lyricists. Like,
It's people are really judgmental these days, you know what I'm saying? So that's why, you know, I make records like Boomerverse to let them know, like, we still got it. You know what I mean? We still got it. And, I mean, it's still lyrically sharp. We still making moves. One thing about Atlanta is that it's a certain brotherhood where you got, you know, from 2 Chainz and T.I., Luda, Jeezy, and Gucci. Like, everybody is cool. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you bump into anybody anywhere, and you can click up and go do some music automatically.
All right, we got more with Big Boy when we come back. Let's get to an Outkast mini mix. Let me know your favorite Outkast joint. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was an Outkast mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Big Boy from Outkast in the building. Charlamagne?
Now, remember the Source Awards that year when Suge got on stage and said what he said about Puff? Like, one of the things that goes under the radar is when Outkast accepted their award,
yeah,
and y'all got booed,
yeah,
and Andre said the South had something to say. And if you pay attention to that award show, it was a shift in hip-hop altogether,
yeah,
that night.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, that's when the South really started to rise to me.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything happened with the East-West thing. How instrumental do you feel that night was?
It was crazy, because it was like, you know, it could have been a shootout at any minute, you know.
That was in New York, right?
Yeah, the Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. So it was... We were just sitting back. You know, we was in the South, so we were just out of the crossfire, just sitting back like, okay, cool, watching it. Everybody taking shots at each other. I just remember Death Row having some of the biggest Rottweilers on stage when they had the little jail set up, and the show was just crazy. So everybody was taking stabs, drugs, and we just waiting for the bullets to fly. You know?
Did y'all go to the tunnel after that? Because I heard a lot of artists went to the tunnel that night.
I think we did.
And what was it there? Because I heard that everybody was looking at Suge, because Suge walked in the tunnel that night, and they just said everything was awkward that night in that club.
It was just, the whole thing was strange. Like I said, we was just waiting for it to pop off, you know what I'm saying? So we just stayed out of the way.
What made y'all feel like y'all wanted to make a statement that night, though? Because Andre made a statement that when you go back and look at hip-hop history, that was a big, big statement. But people don't pay attention to that moment because of the East Coast, West Coast stuff.
Yeah, no, he was definitely on the verge of tears, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like we had worked so hard to be respected and, you know, we've been, you know, all around touring and, like, you know, we had it. We won. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And when we won, when they booed, it was just like, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? But the only thing that did was just fuel the fire for us to even go harder. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Even if you hear Uncle Luke or you read his book, he talks about how he wasn't respected on the East Coast. Yeah. Or even on the West Coast when they first started, too.
East Coast was very difficult.
Yeah, it was crazy over here.
Nothing but New York music.
That's all we listened to with Buddha Shaped Music. Mm-hmm. The Volkswagen Rabbit with 315s in the back. We was on all that. All of it. You know what I'm saying? So we grew up on that. That's why it's a lot of 808 in our music, because we listened to bass music from Miami and even Kilo from Atlanta.
Atlanta,
man. So we was on top of that.
Can you break down the science of Freakonomics?
Yeah, Freakonomics is basically, I want to say, use what you got to get what you want, but at the same time, you got to be careful about how you do it. You just can't give yourself to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's pimping. You know what I'm saying? So, ladies, just be aware. Don't spread yourself thin like the jelly and the peanut butter on the bread. You know what I mean? But you know you got that weapon.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you keep your other businesses on the low for a reason? Like,
No. People know, like, I have Celebrity Trailers. I'm a trailer company that I provide trailers for, you know, movies and stuff. Since Atlanta's become, like, the movie capital of the world, I started a business where, you know, L.A. once again.
No, that's smart as hell.
L.A. taught me to invest in what you know. Mm-hmm. And so coming up, we were staying in these trailers. It was raggedy. The microwave ain't working. Wasn't no system in them or nothing like that. So light bulb came on. So now we got Celebrity Trailers. It's hardwood floors, glass bowls, sinks, safes, Wi-Fi, Xbox, PlayStation, flat screens, massage chairs, and it's top of the line. You know,
how many trailers y'all have?
About 30, 40 now.
Damn.
Yeesh.
And that's great advice. Invest in what you know. You saw something that you felt like there's a lack of this. I don't like my accommodations and this trailer on set.
Right.
I'm going to make some trailers that are popping.
Yeah. So my ex-assistant, I started it with her. And now she's on the way to being a seven-figure player, too, now.
Yeah, because Atlanta, they surpassed Hollywood as far as where films get made. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
man, we got in at the right time.
What other businesses you have?
I do a lot of tech investments, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm in a syndicate with Chamillionaire and my homeboy Nasilo from the Beat
People
Brothers.
Are surprised. You know, Chamillionaire was sitting on the floor at the game six. And they were like, how the hell is Chamillionaire?
But they've been saying that Chamillionaire has been investing in tech and made a lot of money.
And they brought me in a couple of years ago. So it's like a group of us, you know, me, Chamillionaire, Kelly Rowland, Trey Songz is in the group, E-40's in the group. Mm-hmm. And we go in and we buy parts of these tech companies. And then, you know, when one goes, you make 100x. 1,000x, 10x, or whatever you put your money into, and we in some good stuff.
Hey, that's all MC Hammer been doing.
Come on, man. Yeah. Yes, I'm in Lyft, so y'all take Lyft.
Oh, I have some stock in the
Uber. Yeah, we got that Uber.
I told him to buy that stock.
Man,
in
Man, I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm.
My list stock is doing incredible.
So I do a little bit of that, do some real estate. You know, my wife is heavy into the real estate. We flip houses and such. You know what I mean? Own Stankonia Studios.
I love to hear that, man.
In Atlanta.
Love to hear that.
Yeah, because, I mean, rappers been inspiring kids to do everything else but invest in themselves for years. So yeah. I love to hear that.
Absolutely. And then pay your taxes. Do that.
Pay your taxes.
You got to do that.
Well, I feel like this is your best album since Speaker Box, man.
Thank you, brother. That's the same thing L.A. said. I feel the same way. And the response from the people has been great, man. I appreciate it. That's
yes,
love.
Sir.
That's love. All day.
Well, go get the album. It's out right now.
Yeah.
Boomerverse, and we appreciate you for joining us, man.
Thank you, man. I'm sorry I couldn't bring controversy to the show, but I'm really a laid-back guy.
What controversy?
I'm just saying, I want to come here and turn up or something.
No, this show ain't built on that. The show ain't built
on
good.
No, there
ain't nothing to talk. I watch y'all on the TV, but y'all done came up, man. I watch y'all on TV. That is on my TV, or I can watch it on the Sling Box. Y'all really, boy, y'all done came a long way, but. I started with my Revolt hoodie they gave me in L.A., but I didn't want to seem like a square. I had the goddamn camouflage with the Revolt right here. They were like, look at this kissing ass. Like, nah. Coming in here to talk about that album, man. I appreciate the love, bro.
Well, there you have it. It's Big Boy. Yeah. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Beyonce.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, we haven't seen Beyonce and Jay-Z's twins yet, and the word is that they are still in the hospital. But according to sources connected with the family, the twins were born premature, and they are, quote, under the lights to normalize, which is not an abnormal thing to happen.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's very common among preemies and not dangerous in most cases. They just want to make sure everything is okay.
Right.
All right, and Kim and Kanye, they are planning to have another child, according to TMZ, and they have made a deal with a surrogate. Now, Kim Kardashian has revealed that she has this condition which makes another pregnancy life-threatening for her. So they found a surrogate through an agency, and they're going to pay. They had to pay $45,000 in 10 $4,500 monthly installments.
Now, what's the condition? Too much plastic surgery?
No.
It's called placenta accreta.
I don't know what that is.
The last time she had a baby, it was on a show that she couldn't have another child because of whatever the reason was. But now, so how does this work? They find a woman to carry the baby. It's still Kim's egg. It's still Kanye's sperm.
But she doesn't carry the baby.
Gotcha.
So it's still their child is just being carried by a surrogate.
You're just borrowing somebody else's oven. That's all.
Right. Anything could go, so basically as a surrogate, though, you're taking all of that risk.
You put all the ingredients together, you put it in your pans, but you put it in somebody else's oven.
The surrogate has to have no sexual activities in the weeks leading up to the pregnancy. They can't also...
So it won't be none of her sisters. Then.
...have sexual intercourse for 3 weeks following embryo implantation. You cannot go in hot tubs, saunas. You can't handle a changed cat litter. You can't use hair dye. You can't
change
more
cat
than
litter.
One, yeah, the cat litter is actually bad if you're pregnant.
Mm.
You can't have caffeinated beverages per day. You can't, more than one per day. You can't eat raw fish and all of those
normal
things.
Pregnancy stuff.
Yeah, normal things. If you're pregnant, you shouldn't do
it. They tell you not to do.
All right, now let's discuss the BET Awards. If you guys are excited for this, they have announced some of the performers that are going to be there. A$AP Rocky, French Montana, Gucci Mane, SZA, Sway Lee, Khalid have all been added to who we already know is performing, which includes Future, Migos, Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, DJ Khaled, Big Sean, Post Malone, whole bunch of people. So it should be a big
deal.
I'm
interested to see how the BET Awards going to be this year because Stephen Hill's not there. I don't know how much of a role he played in the BET Awards prior, but I know it was very significant. And the BET Awards do be popping.
And Leslie Jones is going to be hosting this year, so that's the first time that's happened. Actress and comedian Leslie Jones. And New Edition is going to get the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, that's drop dope. One of Clues Bomb for that.
That is dope.
They deserve it. I'm going to be out there on Saturday. I'm hosting the BET Genius Talks with Issa Rae and Ava DuVernay and Tracee Ellis Ross.
All right. And Chance the Rapper is also going to be presented with the Humanitarian Award for all of his philanthropy. He's been doing a lot. Mm-hmm. For the schools in Chicago. Now let's discuss Trey Songz. Now, you know, he's been in court and he actually was there yesterday, and it's all because of the situation that happened in Detroit where they're saying that he allegedly attacked a police officer. Well, here is some footage of Trey Songz in court. And basically, remember before this all happened, he was at a hotel in Vegas and he was saying, F the police. So here's what happened in court.
What do the words F the police mean?
I'd argue that given the words used by the defendant and his demeanor in those videos, that he, in the fact that he was kicked out of that casino, that he's showing highly dissatisfied remarks towards the police. It's a derogatory term. He's saying it about the police, and again, it goes to show his dissatisfaction about the police.
Now, a county judge ruled yesterday that Snapchat videos of Trey Songz making those statements about the police can be used in the case against him for assaulting a police officer in Detroit, allegedly. Now, here is how Trey Songz's lawyer replied to the judge about the F the Police.
Your Honor, actually, it's a popular rap music from the 1980s made by NWA. It's a lyrics to a song. So what really is meaning the police? Is it saying that I'm going to punch a police officer 5 days later in Detroit when I don't know that I'm going to have contact with the police? It does not. It just simply says, the police, and that's it. Nothing more.
Why are you asking me dumbass questions?
Right.
You know good and well what F the police mean, okay? But you want me to say it in front of the police. That's what you want me to do. That's why you're asking me in court, because you want me to say it in front of the police.
Now, the prosecutors tried to give him a plea deal, but his attorney says that he'd rather go to trial. The deal was to reduce his charge of resisting and obstructing a police officer causing injury to attempt to resisting. That would be a one-year misdemeanor, along with a count of aggravated assault. That's a one-year misdemeanor, which is 2 years probation. But he pleaded not guilty on both charges. So
I think Trey might be being a little hard-headed.
Wow.
I wouldn't take it to trial.
Well, he feels like he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, he feels like he didn't do anything wrong.
You don't want to take a plea.
He doesn't want to be on probation for 2 years. He doesn't want that charge.
It's only a year.
It's 2 years probation.
2 years probation.
And he doesn't want that on his record.
Yeah, but what's the max if he gets sentenced to trial for this charge?
Oh, I don't know yet, but his next court date hasn't been set. His trial is scheduled for September 12th.
That's what I would have to look at first. I'd have to look at what the max for this situation is, because if you done said F the police, they'll make an example out of your black ass. Okay.
But hopefully he said that like prior to this incident. Five days.
You think they care?
He did it a week earlier.
You think they care?
You can't do
it's
that.
It's a song.
They in the courtroom. Oh, it's a song now. They in the courtroom asking you, what does F the police mean?
You can't do that. They can't say something you did a week earlier about a song and then say, okay, this is what he meant today.
They said that they can use that, though.
Y'all believe in the justice system?
Nah, you're right.
We just was having a discussion about Philando Castile.
You're right.
Now all of a sudden.
You're right. I forgot. You're right. I'm going to take that plea.
Free Trey Songz.
Don't put me locked up.
Oh, no. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty fun.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey of the day for Wednesday, June 21st, 8 days until my born day, goes to Hollywood superstar Johnny Depp. Oh, Johnny Depp is a legend, even though he played 10 versions of the same character in several of Tim Burton's movies. Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, Alice in Wonderland, Sweeney Todd, Dark Shadows, Edward Scissorhands. That's 5 different movies, 1 dark-ass character. Mm-hmm. Okay, now Johnny Depp has been having money problems. He's trying to climb out of debt. You know, he's currently suing his former business managers for 25 M's. Accusing them of mismanaging his money, but his former management has countersued, saying the actor was aware of his money situation the entire time. In fact, they presented an email exchange from December 2009 where they warned Johnny Depp to take it easy on holiday spending and told him they need to meet to look realistically at income and expenses and work together on how to make sure that they are back out of the red. Now, it gets good. Because Johnny Depp wrote back to his former management, doing my very best on holiday spending, but there is only so much I can do as I need to give my kiddies and family as good a Christmas as possible, obviously within reason. Then Johnny Depp replied, what else can I do? You want me to sell some art? I will. You want me to sell something else? Sure. What? I got bikes, cars, property, books, paintings, and some semblance of a soul left. Where would you like me to start? Well, clearly his former management was with all that. I mean, damn, you in debt. When you in debt, the goal is to get out. So, yeah, sell some of that stuff. Now, let me put this in perspective for you, right? Johnny Depp's net worth right now is $400 million. I don't know how realistic that is, but in 2010, he made a combined $75 million from The Taurus, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Dark Shadows. So he was caked up. By the way, if you ever make $75 million, even after you take out taxes, lawyers get paid, agents get paid, management, you're still going to be left with a lot of money. There's absolutely no reason to ever be in debt if at some point in your life you made $75 million. But I still buy Mosey Mo t-shirts from Target, so what do I know? Now, when you're in debt, you have to scale down. You got to swallow your pride, check your ego, and change your lifestyle. Johnny Depp had the right idea. You want me to get rid of some of this stuff? Sell it. Cool. No problem.
I'm sitting here reading on Business Insider about some of the things Johnny Depp has bought. He spent $18 million on a 150-foot luxury yacht. He owns over 70 collectible guitars. He spent millions on old-school luxury cars. He spends $30,000 a month on wine. He gets wine flown in from all over the world. He spends millions on other people's junk. What they call it, rare and expensive Hollywood collectibles, like Marilyn Monroe dresses and stuff like that. He's got 12 storage facilities full of Hollywood collectibles, a.k.a. junk. He had 40 full-time employees, and it was costing him $300,000 a month, including personal security for him and his family every hour of every day. Johnny Depp once spent $3 million to blast his friend's ashes from a specially made cannon over Aspen, Colorado. Yes, it's safe to say Johnny Depp has wasted some money, and people can spend their money on whatever they want, but when they end up in debt because of it, they will be judged. Now, Johnny Depp also refuses to fly anything but private. The private jet cost him $200,000 a month. Now, the reason Johnny is getting donkey today is because when it comes to cutting back, he drew the line at one thing, and that's the private jet. He says he refuses to sell the private jet simply because a commercial flight with paparazzis in tow would be a effing nightmare of monumental proportions. His words, not mine. This mentality is exactly what created the Bow Wow Challenge. Johnny, listen, you know, it's over, okay? The way life was for you isn't anymore. You didn't manage your money properly. Now you're in debt, and you simply can't live the lifestyle you once lived. What's the point of having a private jet if you can't afford to pay for it? Living beyond your means is what got you in this situation you're in now, and you aren't learning from your mistakes because you're still living beyond your means. It comes a point in time in a rich man's life where we can't go chasing private jets. You have to stick to the JetBlues, Virgin Americas, and Deltas that you're used to. Not to mention, Johnny, your reasoning for not wanting to sell the private jet is because a commercial flight with paparazzi in tow would be a nightmare. Johnny, this is a what have you done for me lately kind of business. I'm pretty sure that the first time you ride commercial, it'll be paparazzi there to ask you why you flying commercial. But after that, you good. Simply because you haven't had a hit movie since 2010. Nobody cares. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Alice in Wonderland was Johnny Depp's last blockbuster. That was 2010. The sequel flopped last year. The movie Black Mass starring Johnny Depp flopped. Transcendence starring Johnny Depp flopped. Mordecai starring Johnny Depp flopped. Johnny, nobody thinking about you, my guy. This is a perfect time to scale down. Nobody will even notice. And you honestly don't have no choice. Sell the damn private jet. Act your wage. In fact, that's the lesson to be learned here, kids. Don't go broke trying to look rich. Act your wage. Please give Johnny Depp the sweet sounds and the Hamiltones, please.
You are the donkey of the day. You are the donkey of the day.
And to put it, put it in perspective, if you don't know how much a private jet, let's say you're in New York and you want to fly to Miami, you're looking at about $10,000 one way.
Yeah, they say.
And that's a small jet. That's about maybe a 6-passenger.
They say he was paying $200,000 a month. I don't know if he's paying $200,000 a month. I don't know if he's.
He probably had a bigger jet. He's probably flying L.A. to New York, and it's very expensive.
Sell the jet, man. You got to act your wage, okay? I'm going to tell you something about me. Whatever I get, I'm going to act like I got half of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's after taxes. Okay, if I get me a $1,000 check, and that's after taxes, so I made $2,000, whatever, I'm going to act like I got $500. That's just the way I move.
That's okay. What you're supposed to do. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day. Now, up next, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you can call her right now. Maybe you need help in your relationship, your life, whatever it may be. Phone lines are wide open, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
So into you. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her right now. Hello, who's this?
Rashad.
What's the problem with your girlfriend?
Yee, my girl, for the past few weeks, man, she be coming home late from work. You know, and it's already, she usually come in, like let's say 1:30. She been come home at, like, 5 o'clock.
In the morning or in the afternoon?
in the afternoon. See, she start work at like 5:30.
So where is she at? What is she saying?
She's saying, oh, she got these meetings, she got these one-on-ones, and talk about she got training, you know. And I'm like, man, you know, really I don't press the issue, but for 3 weeks now you got training and you got one-on-one meetings, you know what I'm saying, for 3 weeks now.
But she getting, is she,
oh boy,
is she trying to do something different at work? Is she up for a new position? Is there something going on?
Oh, hell no. She ain't getting no new position. She's been in the same position for like 5 years.
All right, so you believe that she's cheating on you?
I think so. You know, you going from 5 a.m. to like 5:30 p.m. You know, you've been usually getting off at 1:30, like 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. All right, so... You know, So, does she have some evidence that she can show you about her training, like emails from her boss or anything?
That's the issue. She can't even pull that stuff up. I asked her, she can't even pull it up for me, you know, so that's what got me tripping out.
Right. So, what did she say when you... Did you tell her, I think, are you seeing somebody else?
No, I haven't hit her with that line yet, you know, because I've been trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, is that if you ever feel a way about something, the best thing to do is to confront and ask instead of making assumptions and trying to guess what's going on. That way, it's really hard for, well, I wouldn't say it's hard for people to directly lie to you, but you need to ask directly, what's going on here? You usually come home at 1 o'clock. You're coming home at 5:30. I'm asking you what's going on. You said you have training. You haven't produced any evidence to that fact. So this looks suspicious. I'm sure you can understand why I would question you and see how she responds to that. Have you guys been having problems in your relationship?
I mean, not from my knowledge. You know, she be still asking for it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? She still asked for it whenever she wanted. You know, it just seemed like she been a little sneaky about her, you know, her phone and all that stuff. That's, she been acting different about her phone.
Right. And your intuition is telling you something's going on.
Right, exactly.
You should tell her that you will come to meet her at work and pick her up from work.
Okay.
And just make things a little different. You know, it might be time for you to pop up at work with some flowers, see if she's really there.
Okay, but you think she'll try to, like, think I'm up to something? Because I ain't never done that before.
Exactly. And which is, by the way, a shame that you've never done that. But it's okay. Listen, if she's there and you go there and you bring her some flowers and she's there and she's doing what she says she's doing, then you should feel more at ease.
All right, definitely.
Now, if you show up and she's not there and you're like, I'm at your job right now and I'm actually here with flowers and your boss said you left at 1, then that's a whole other story.
Oh, yeah, we got a whole different problem.
But, you know, be proactive in trying to find out what's going on. That's, you know, how I feel. And I also feel like since you haven't directly asked her yet, you should ask her and then you should try to do something like that. And it's a nice gesture still that you've never done, but it's a good way to also find out. And if you find out, you should feel like, okay, I was wrong. She has been here. But if you find out otherwise, then what are you going to do?
Oh, that's it. I'm out. That's it. Or she out, because this is my spot. So she out. That's it.
All right, just make sure you stick to that because, you know, a lot of people want to know what's going on. They feel like somebody's cheating or they know, but they're not going to leave. So you just have to figure out now, if I do find out something that's unsavory, what do I do next?
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's it. She out of here, you know.
All right.
Pack it up myself.
Well, you go and investigate because all things done in the dark will come to the light.
Most def. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Rashad.
Good luck.
All right.
All right, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So gonna get to clapping. Go pop it for a plan. Pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan. Drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Julio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Hello, who's this?
Jocelyn.
Hey, Jocelyn. What's your question for Yee?
Yes, I have a question as far as financial issues in a relationship to the point where you're asking for assistance and you live with each other, you have a child with each other, and every single time it comes down to responsibilities, it's like they end up not having any more money to help you, or they have other situations that you end up finding out that they're basically making up lies about.
Okay, so your baby daddy is not contributing what he should be contributing to the household and lying about his money.
Right.
Okay. So give me an example of what you mean. Like, you ask him for money to contribute.
Yeah, okay. So, for example, like, I would say, okay, I need some help this weekend, or when you get paid to, you know, pay for the daycare fee or pay for, like, the utility bill or something. And then by the time the day comes, he's just like, well, my boss ended up not putting the money, all my money into my account, or I owe him this. And, or say for example, because he has two other kids as well, and he says that he has to pay, like, he has to pay his child support with them, and come to find out that didn't even happen either. So it's like, I'm finding out these different lies about it, and his money is not accounted for, what he actually said.
What is he doing with his money?
I have no clue. That's what I'm still trying to find out.
So how do you guys break it down? You go half on all the bills, or you don't have any system?
We don't really have a system. I just let him know, like, hey, can you pay this bill or can you pay this bill? And I'm going to handle these two bills here, like, for the child, for,
right,
like,
so
daycare.
Here's what you guys do. Sit down and come up with a budget so that he knows how much he's responsible for paying every single month and what you're responsible for paying. Instead of saying, okay, I need you to pay this, I need you to pay that, and I'm going to pay this bill, you need to say, okay, we need to sit down and come up with the system, because clearly you have other financial responsibilities. I don't exactly know what you're doing with your money, but it's not fair to me. I need to know what I need to set aside, and this is for both of our benefit, because then you need to know what you need to set aside also. So you guys sit down, write up a budget together, and come up with, okay, this is how much money you're going to owe every month. It could vary a little bit, and this is how much I'm going to pay every month. Is that fair to you? And I just need you to stick to this, because one of the main reasons that couples break up is over financial differences, right, and how we spend our money, how we budget, how we save. So you need to make sure you get ahead of that, because he needs to know that you are responsible for this, and if you don't handle your responsibility, then there's a problem. You can't say, oh, I didn't come up with that. You got to figure it out, just like I figure it out every month.
Exactly. Yes, that is so true.
Right. So just make sure he knows, because now he can budget for it, and now he knows what he's responsible for. Make sure y'all know what day he's responsible for this. Okay, you get paid on this day, so the following day you need to put this amount of money in.
Okay.
And even if that means that y'all put an account together that you pay the bills out of, or however it is that you do it, do you guys have a joint account?
No, I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah, I was going to say don't. But I would say if it's just to pay the bills, or if he just gives you the money and you pay it. But you guys have to make sure you come up with a system that's in place every month, so he's programmed. And if he doesn't hold up to his end of the bargain, he has to be held responsible for that.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well, I wish you luck, Jocelyn. It's really difficult.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Good luck.
And it ain't even like she's asking him to pay all the bills. Just pay your part. You know, she's doing her part.
Right. All right. Well, ASCII 800-585-1051. Now, we got Rumaji.
Yes, we are going to give you more information on what happened with Prodigy. Rest in peace to Prodigy from Mobb Deep. He passed away. And we'll also talk about Andrea Constance. She was speaking about what happened with her mistrial with Bill Cosby.
Okay. All that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Warren Sapp announced yesterday that when he dies, he plans to donate his brain to the Concussion Legacy Foundation. Now, this video was posted on the Players Tribune, and he said he wants this game to be better when I left than when I got into it. Here's what he had to say.
My whole thing when I started playing the game was I wanted this game to be better when I left than when I got into it. And that's the reason I'm donating my brain to the Concussion Legacy Foundation. I decided I wanted to praise my brain when I got a email from Fred Willis that had quotes from NFL owners. There's no correlation between the football, CTE, suicides, and all of these foolish stuff that they, I mean, where are you getting this information from and then spewing it out as if it's fact?
My biggest fear, well, first of all, salute to Warren Sapp. Drop on the clues bombs for Warren Sapp.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest fear when it comes to donating organs is that I'm going to need them where I'm going. I don't know what's after this, okay?
If you That's true.
You know, if you want my brain, you're going to have to take it from me like the white people and get up.
But there's some people out there that need, you know, a body part that could possibly live if you're about to die. So I'd rather give up that body part so they could live if I'm already out of here.
Warren Sapp also talked about just being really forgetful and having to do all these reminders.
I need help. I need somebody to help me find something that I could have found with my eyes closed, in the dead of night, half sleep. I feel myself at times, you know, now having to use my reminders in my phone because I had one of those silly memories. I used to call myself an elephant in the room, never forget anything. Man, I wake up now and be like, okay, what are we doing? I just can't remember anymore like I used to.
People trip me out when they say they can't remember something, but they remember to say they can't remember.
What? Okay, well, anyway, that's Warren Sapp's experience. Now, in other NFL news, ex-NFL lineman Ryan O'Callaghan, who played for the Patriots and the Chiefs, has come out as gay. And he said he was even suicidal at a point. Here's what he had to say on OutSports.com.
You know, I never planned on living.
What's wrong
when
with
I was
you,
doing
man?
Football, that was going to be it. I thought I couldn't ever be an out gay man. My last year in Kansas City, I was injured. I knew that was going to be the end of my career because I had so many injuries. I kind of had a meltdown, started abusing drugs, and it got really out of hand.
How close did you come to killing yourself?
I wrote a letter.
I'm so tired of y'all laughing at the most inopportune
time. I'm not laughing at anything.
Why are you? Why? Why did you start laughing?
All right.
As soon
well,
as the picture showed up on TV, you started laughing. Why?
I'm not laughing.
So he said he wrote a suicide note. He said he also had guns, God, but he didn't go through with it. And here's what actually ended up helping him.
Our trainer, Dave Price in Kansas City, without knowing anything, he just said, hey, you know, you need to talk to someone.
And I see why you would laugh.
And I went and started talking to someone. She basically, in so many words, said, well, why don't you find out if you need to kill yourself? So drove back out to California, told family. All the people I was most concerned about were fine. It was so much easier and better than I ever imagined.
Now, he also feels like the NFL is ready for openly gay players in the locker room. He never had any issues with his teammates.
Everybody know he's gay, right?
Well, now they know.
Now they know.
He struggled so much before he actually came out.
What did he play, offensive lineman?
Let me see. What was his position?
He doesn't know.
Big old gay boy.
It just says lineman. I don't know.
Got to be offensive lineman. He big.
All right. Now, Andrea Constan, she talked about the mistrial with Bill Cosby. And, you know, she's a lot of people are saying, just be aware. This is not an acquittal. This is still there's still allegations against him. And they are planning to go ahead and retry him. Now, Andrea Constan expressed gratitude to her supporters. She said, thank you for the outpouring of love and kindness and support. I am eternally grateful for the messages I have received in recent days. So it was only a 6-day trial. It was a mistrial. Now, Prodigy, rest in peace to Prodigy. He was having some complications from his sickle cell anemia. He was in the hospital. He was in Vegas performing. It was like 110 degrees. So they're saying that's what really upset his sickle cell anemia. He ended up having to go to the hospital. He was dehydrated. He already has a weak immune system. And here is what happened when Prodigy was on The Breakfast Club actually talking about his sickle cell anemia.
One time we was on tour with Big Pun, and we had just did a show. Mm-hmm. After the show, I get back to the hotel, and all of a sudden, the pain just came out of nowhere. It hit me crazy. I couldn't even move. And Pun see how much pain I was in. I was, like, screaming in pain. Pun started crying, like...
Now with sickle cell, now you say they rush you to the emergency. So when they get you to the emergency, what can they do for sickle cell?
They just give you, like, morphine until the pain goes away.
It's
like, really no cure for it.
So there is no way that it could just get hit any given minute. Right now, you could just have a sickle cell attacking.
It's not that fast, but it's, like, gradually. Mm-hmm. It can happen within, like, 30 minutes.
God bless the brother Prodigy, man. Drop on the Clues Bomb for Prodigy. Back in the day when I was doing radio on Hot 103.9 in Columbia, South Carolina, we were going to have Mobb Deep perform at a hotel. And after I did the interview with them on Hot 103.9, which we do mornings on now, Prodigy ended up having a sickle cell attack, I guess. I don't know. And he couldn't come do the show. So salute to my guy, Prodigy.
Yes, and our condolences to his family, to his friends. We all had our own personal relationships. So it's just really tragic to hear.
I remember that because I remember he needed some type of medicine. And he didn't have it, so a young lady that my man Big G knew, salute to Big G, he's a DJ on Hot 103.9, she had the medicine, so he had to get the medicine for Prodigy that night. So salute to P, man.
Wow.
Good guy.
All right, and a lot of people have spoken out. 50 Cent posted, he said, to Prodigy, you will always be loved and missed. God bless you and your family. I'm at a loss of words. I had to walk out of the award ceremony. He was at an award ceremony, and he said, the police tried to get P to set me up. They asked him if I keep any gun or drugs around, then wanted him to put a gun in my car. He didn't do it. Instead, he told me what they were trying to do. My man.
Wow. We've had many an argument. I know I've had many an argument. Definitely had many an argument in this room about Prodigy's place in the game of hip hop. We used to have
these. As a lyricist, absolutely.
We used to have these when he was alive. Uh-huh. I maintain that at one point in time, Prodigy was absolutely the best rapper alive. At one point, it was a moment. It was a moment.
I always thought he was in those top lyrics.
It was a moment between that Infamous album and maybe I'll say Infamous, Hell on Earth, Murder Music, maybe HNIC. But it was a moment. I don't know how long it was, but it was a moment where I don't think nobody was rapping better than Prodigy.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.